Hello everybody, thank you for coming to this talk. So I'm going to be talking about scalable machine learning framework R4ML and how we use it, how we can use it, and how it is built from an architecture perspective. And we're going to go over use case from a data science perspective. So let's go to the about me. I work for IBM as a principal engineer. In the past 20 years, I have worked in a lot of algorithmic, big data, and the intersection of machine learning. And here is my contact info in case you have any questions about the talk or any other info. So a little bit about my employer. So I work for IBM Spark Technology Center. Spark Technology Center was formed 2 years back by IBM to make the Spark, which is an in-memory distributed computing framework, a very enterprise ready. And while we were doing that, we also created this bigdatauniversity.com, where you can get a free account for a couple of months. You can use all the big data tools like Spark, or all the data science thing, all the notebooks, and you can play around there. So in case you want to experiment, please do log in there. And Spark Technology Centers have 50 engineers, 20 and 25 designers, where we are working to make Spark, which is a distributed in-memory computing framework, better. So with this obligatory introduction, let's go back to the what is R4ML. So we're going to go little bit more details in a onion peeling mode. So this is the first layer of onion in the sense that what is in a very top level perspective. So it is built on the couple of components. Distributed in memory computation framework Spark and an open source project again from IBM that's called Apache System ML. And we're gonna go a little bit more details on that. I think pretty much everybody is familiar with Spark, I hope. So Spark is a very fast in-memory computation engine. So you can have like a thousands of machines working together, and you can do a lot of computation, whether it can be a linear algebra problem or simple data analysis like a SQL kind of things. But it wasn't so, it's not a complete solution. So Databricks created Spark R, and they married Spark and R, because R has a pretty nice visualization. They have more than 10,000 CRAN packages, and okay, de facto standard for the statistics. But there were certain things missing in the Spark R, and that motivated IBM and IBM Research to create the R4ML and the System ML. So now, let me explain a little bit about what is System ML. So before we go into System ML, we have to understand why, what is the machine learning in a very top level or very simplistic term. So pretty much you are trying to do some mathematical optimization problem in a linear algebra setting. Why linear algebra? Because linear algebra is a powerful, precise way to express a complex expressions in a concise manner. We'll look into a smaller example. So now look at the R. R linear algebra is a first class citizen. Let's say you have a vector or the single data type. They can automatically convert each other, and it will, matrix is also supported in a very nice way. In fact, lot of algorithm in R, in fact, is made on the top of matrix package and the high performance vector. But there is a limitation. R cannot handle, look at the matrix. The maximum you can, let's say you want to solve some inverse of a matrix, you may be able to do 5,000 or 10,000 by 10,000, depending upon how many RAM you have. But wouldn't it be nice if you can do all those linear algebra computation, but at the scale? What if you have a matrix of the size of 100 million or 1 billion into 50,000 or something like that? How would you go? So you can manually split it, all those matrix, and do all the hustle and create all the distributed framework. But SystemML do the similar thing for you. So what SystemML take is, it takes a linear algebra formulation. You can pretty much copy paste your algorithm from any of the standard mathematical optimization book or any of the, and then you can write a code in SystemML and it will compile the code, use optimizer and a dynamic allocations to create a optimized Spark set of jobs and it will run it. So SystemML has been IBM top research project and now it's Apache top level project too. You can please visit http://systemml.apache.org and it has a very nice info and lot of things you can do. All the things you can do with the matrices but on at the scale level. So now we know a little bit about SystemML. Now this is a code many people who are use the mathematical optimization, they will realize that this code is looks like a pretty much MATLAB. This is an inherent SystemML language called DML. And the key operation here is a computation of conjugate gradient operation. And this doesn't look any different. The only thing is that when we read the X in the line number one, that X can be a very big, maybe a billion by million, you know, big size matrix. But the SystemML works pretty good when it's a sparse matrix. But dense one also, we do work good, but sparse matrix, we do pretty good. So this algorithm is for calculating a L2 regularized regression by the conjugate gradient descent. So we don't have to go in detail, but just to give an idea how it can do things. Now with that, let me go into architecture of R4ML. So R4ML, as I mentioned, use two components, Apache SystemML, which is on the bottom side, and the top side is Spark R, and then the left-hand side is a pure R package. We call R4ML, R for machine learning, and we created a distributed frame, which is called R4ML frame, that's in analogous and to data frame in R, and R4ML matrix, that's analogous to a matrix kind of in the R. And everything can run on the Spark cluster. You can have a 1,000 node cluster, depending upon the hardware you can have. And the same algorithm you can use for a small data set or the big data set. So with that, let me just walk through a very simple example how R4ML helps with the scalable machine learning. The typical flow. So here is a typical flow of machine learning from a data analyst and data scientist perspective. First, you want to read the input data set. It can be a very big data set or small, doesn't matter. Then you want to perform some kind of pre-processing, because pre-processing, like normalizing the columns and curing the features, can improve the predictive powers of your algorithm, typical standard machine learning algorithm. So we do support many pre-processors, we'll talk about it. And then you can run any of the built-in algorithm that we provide. Or if you are not happy with the built-in algorithm, let's say you are a researcher, you want to really see, hey, instead of using L2 regularization, what if I use a L1? Or what if I use a combination of things similar to GLNet? What will happen? You can experiment with that using your own custom machine learning algorithm, as I explained. It's very easy to write. It's like you can copy-paste a textbook example. So you can create a custom machine learning algorithm. Then, after your model is created, you can do a scoring, and that's what. So here is a very simple example, and many users will see it just look like a R code. All you do is that load a R4ML, and you do R4ML.read.csv. Under the hood, it can start like thousands of workers to do the job to read the big files in parallel. And pre-processing is very important for having a better predictive power for machine learning. We do support this very commonly used pre-processors. In future, we're going to increase this list. Like you can remove a NA and substitute with a mean or constant. You can remove the STR precision by binning. And normalizing pretty much scale the things by standard deviation and shift it by the mean. And recoding typically, because system ML is a high performance scalable linear algebra thing, so we need to have some way to map string kind of data type into the integer. That's what recoding do. And one hot encoding is kind of similar to recoding, but many times when the order is not there, for example, states of the America or country in the Euro zone, so you might wanna do one hot encoding, and let's say you are analyzing a salary or something like that. And also, one of the good thing is that since it's built on the top of Spark R, it do support all the standard Spark R preprocessors. And here is a simple example. It's kind of, you can do everything in a one unified API, and that's just a simple, you can go through it later also. And this is a list of our built-in scalable machine learning algorithm that's gonna increase in the future. As you can see, we have generalized linear model and step linear model automatically select the best feature for you using forward selection. And classification, we have multi-class classifier, both logistic regression and support vector machine. And you can do recommendation type of things by alternating least square and dimensional reduction by PCA. And we do have a survival analysis things, but that's for big data. Let's say you are an advertising company and you wanna analyze the churnout rate on your website, people coming over. You know, so you can use one of this hazard model to see how long they're gonna stay. And this is a very simple example of how you're gonna do a training and scoring using a generalized linear model. So like usual supervised learning case, we split the data into two, train and test, and we do provide a scalable version for that. You run a model on the training data set and you can do a prediction. And in the later, it's like a R, you can print out all the R square and various dispersion and various statistics. It's gonna enhance in future, but that's it, that is there so far. And one of the important thing is that you can write a custom machine learning algorithm. As I talked, L2 regularizer example, here is another example of creating a one-hot encoding. One-hot encoding, if you have to write using Java or even in Spark or in R, it will be too much of a work. But here is a short code. Look at the yellow color of a line. That's just one line of code with a scalable table function. You can have a one-hot encoding. And others is a glue code, which you can read if interested. So with that, I'm just gonna go with a very small, I think with the amount of time we have, I have created an example in a Nita PDF document, so people can go over it in details later. So I'm just gonna walk over the format of this document and what it contains so that interested user can read it. I'm gonna upload it after the talk. So here is the, so the format is that we're gonna, I do first explorative data analysis, and sorry, yeah, to make it bigger, just, yeah. And then we do a typical dimension reduction, and we compute a delay using a simple model. We're gonna use a support vector machine. So we have followed certain conventions. For example, all the green color is the important code, and we have callouts, and output is in the yellow color. So here, I read a library, R4ML, and I'm using a sample data set, so it's a small, just for the explanation purpose. So I convert R data frame into a R4ML frame, and you can perform many of the operations. For explorative analysis, I sample the 1% of a data set, and I plot the histogram here. So here you can, oh, by the way, this is an airline data set, which contains all the airline travel from for last 20 years. So you can see some of the columns doesn't have a predictive powers, like months and all those. So using this explorative analysis, you can kind of not use those columns in your regression or any kind of problems. But we don't force you to use the graphical way. you can also find all those things analytically. So how we gonna find it? We gonna say whether it is skew and kurtosis comes out close to zero or not. So one thing you might notice, I'm using a log to make the skew and kurtosis close to zero, so that I need to do some pre-processing, make a distance log of that so that my prediction will be better. So that's what I can do it analytically or exploratory wise too. And this is an example of pre-processing the input data set. And later on, here is my another example for dimension reduction. And you can say this is like a, it looks like a pretty much like a standard R code, but it's running on a very big data set. So you can call r4ml.pca, and I had a out of 29 columns, I selected 12 columns. And here I plotted how much variance is contained in the top six columns. So I found out that 90% of the variance can be explained by top six principal component. Then later the document talks about how I'm gonna predict the airline delay using support vector model. So here I split a data set into training and test, and I create a SVM model, and I create a prediction here, and I got the 92% accuracy. But I can do a grid search to find a better regularizer, and then I found here the 94% for the 0.1 regularizer. So this document just gives some idea that how, it's just a sample of things one can do, but in future, we're gonna create more examples too. So with that, we're gonna add more machine learning in future. Please do visit our website, github.com/sparktc/r4ml. And the server summary, the idea is that we do support a lot of distributed machine learning algorithm. It can be used for wide columns, which is one of our advantages compared to Spark R. So I think with that, I have with the question, and
we should have time for questions.
Okay. So thank you, everybody.